Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What sort of man is this that even winds and sea obey him? Those are the words of the disciples after Jesus has calmed the wind and the waves and the sea. They ask, what sort of man can this be? When the winds and the waves and the sea obey him, who could he be? And it's an important question for us to answer correctly. Because the answer to that question has eternal consequences. It matters a great deal how you answer the question, what sort of man is this, when we're referring to Jesus? Well, what options do we have when we answer this question, what sort of man is this? Someone will say, perhaps, that Jesus never really existed, that he's just a fictional character, he wasn't real. But history outside of the Bible testifies to us that Jesus was indeed a real historical person. We have record outside of the history of the Bible, which is still history, a record outside of that history from even those who were opposed to Jesus that says that, yes, this Jesus really did walk the earth. This person was real. But what sort of man was this real historical Jesus? Some will say, well, he was simply a great teacher. They will affirm the things that he said and say he provided a great moral system that people should follow, one of love, of non-resistance, of peace. He was a good teacher. But that's really not an option. It's really not an option to say that. As C.S. Lewis has pointed out, you can't say that because this man, who taught many wonderful and good things, also claimed to be God. So you cannot merely say that he is a good teacher, because if he claims to be God, which he does, then he's one of three things. Either he's lying to you, he's crazy, he's a lunatic, or he is in fact who he says he is. He is Lord. So let's look at each one of these options then. As we answer the question, what sort of man is this who makes a claim to be the God of the universe, who says, I and the Father are one, who says, before Abraham was... Abraham would live hundreds and hundreds of years before Abraham was, I am, claiming for himself a name of God. Who is this? What sort of man is this who claims to be God? On the one hand, we go with that first option. Was he lying when he said that he is God? Was he not telling the truth? And if he is lying, then we can't say that he's a good teacher, because then he's dishonest. He's a liar. He cannot be trusted. He's trying to deceive. And we can't believe what he said to be true. What's the other option then? Well, the next option is that he is crazy. He's a lunatic. He actually believes that he is God, and he's mistaken in that. He's crazy. Well, people who are crazy are not those that we go to find good teachings. We don't go to them to find wisdom and understanding and how we should live, because they're crazy. They belong in some sort of institution, under surveillance, under care. We cannot trust them to be good teachers. Well, then what's the third option? The third option, when we ask what sort of man is this, is to say that he is in fact Lord. That he is who he says he is. He is really God. When he says, I'm God, I and the Father are one, before Abraham was, I am, to say he is in fact the Lord of the universe. And this claim to be God is substantiated by our text today, by the example we have of him there on the boat speaking, rebuking the winds, and making the sea calm, simply by his word. Because you see, God was the one who first spoke the world into existence. By his word, by his speaking, the world came into existence. When he said, "Let there be light," and there was. When he said, "Let there be plants and trees," and there was. By his speaking, he created. None of us can simply speak and make things happen. Simply by our words, simply by the words coming out of our mouths, that we can speak and make the winds stop, make the snow stop, make the waves be calm, make the diseases stop. But Jesus could speak, and he could make it happen by his word. By his word, he could calm the storm. And this is evidence of the fact that he is, in fact, God. And so when the disciples answer or ask this question, what sort of man is this? And we pair what he has done with what he's already said about himself or will say about himself. I and the Father are one, and before Abraham was, I am. And when he stands later before the high priest and is asked if he is the Son of God, he answers that he is. When we combine his claims to be God with the fact that he also has the power over this natural world, over disease, over demons, over death, then we have to conclude that the answer to this question, what sort of man is this? This is God in human flesh. But then someone might ask, well, how can this be? Because he looks just like an ordinary man. He is born like any other man. He lives on this earth and walks this earth seemingly like anyone else. He gets hungry and thirsty. He has to have rest and sleep. How can this man be God? Because God chose to come in Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin here on this earth, to live a perfect life in our place. And why did he do that? So that he could live a life in our shoes as one of us, and then so that he could die. God became man so that he could live this perfect life and so that he was able to die. God cannot die, but mortal man can die. So he came as one of us to live in our place, to live the life we should have lived, and then to suffer the punishment for sin on the cross for us in our place, to die for us. This is God coming in human flesh for us and for our salvation. What sort of man is this? This is God in human flesh to love us and care for us and rescue us from sin and death and the devil. That's what sort of man this is. This is the God-man, Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man for us. And in light of that fact, in light of the fact that we can answer this question, what sort of man is this? We should ask a question of ourselves. In the face of this one who is holy and righteous, who has come to this earth for us, we should ask, what sort of men or women are we? Of what sort are we in comparison with this one, the holy and righteous God come to earth for us, who has the power over the sea, the wind, the waves, the natural world, over disease and sin and death? What sort are we? Well, the fact that he has come says that we are human beings who have fallen to sin and apart from Jesus are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. That we are sinners in need of saving. That's why Jesus came to this earth. Because we needed to be rescued. Because we cannot be holy and righteous on our own. Because we cannot save ourselves. This one came, God came in human flesh to die on the cross. Whenever you look at the cross and see Jesus on it, dying for your sins, you can remember that it took the death of the Son of God to pay for them. that is the condition that we are in, that we are sinners in need of rescue. And Jesus came to rescue us. And he came then to deliver his new life to us, to make us new. And so when we ask, of what sort are we? Well, we who are baptized into Christ, who have been given the new life of Christ, who have been given the cross, who have been buried with Jesus in his death and raised from that, raised to new life, we are new creatures in Christ. And we saw that happen today. We saw someone come and die to sin and rise to new life. Now, it may not have looked any different after the baptism. That person may not have looked any different. We may not have seen an amazing miracle happen with our eyes. But we know and believe from the Word of God that it did happen. Just as it happened to every one of you at your baptism. That God promises that in baptism, he works to create new life, to give the Holy Spirit, to create a new creature in him. That you have died to sin and you have risen to new life. And so when you ask, what sort of man or woman am I? You say, yes, I am a sinner, but I have been redeemed and I have been given new life in Christ. I am a new creature, a new man, a new woman. I have died to sin. I have been raised to a new life. I have been marked with God's name and I've been adopted into his family. That's who I am. I am a new person because of what Jesus has done for me on the cross. That's what sort of person I am. I have been redeemed by this one, Jesus Christ, this one who can call the waves and the sea. He has adopted me into his family. He cares for me. I am on the boat with him. And he looks after me. And I can cry out to him for help in the midst of any and every distress. In the midst of the storms of this life that surround us, that surround God's people, I can cry out to my Lord. And he is there to take care of me and to watch out for me and to rescue me and to finally deliver me. And the way that he preserves me and keeps me and protects me is here in this place where he gives me his forgiveness and his word and strengthens me, where he gives me his very body and blood, where he comes into me to strengthen me in faith toward him and in fervent love toward one another. So what sort of man is this? This is the God-man, Jesus Christ. And what sort of man or woman are you? You are one who has been redeemed by Jesus to be his own and to belong to him. So now there's another question, though, that we should ask. A third question. After asking those two questions. And that is to ask the question that Jesus then asks of his own disciples, whom he has called, whom he is there in the boat, sailing with. He asks the question, why are you afraid? Because in this world, we easily turn our eyes from the one who is our Savior, who has redeemed us and made us his own, and we turn our eyes to the storms around us and to the problems and the difficulties, and we become afraid, and we turn and follow the things of this world and the way the world wants us to respond to the fears and the troubles and the difficulties. We start to think that the things of this world will save us, that they will rescue us, because we are afraid of the things in this world. And our Lord Jesus Christ says, why are you afraid? Do not fear these things. Trust in me. Believe in me. Believe my word. Believe that it is good for you. Trust now that I have redeemed you, that I care for you, that I've made you my child, and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. The things of this world that we so often worry about, all those other things are going to be added to you. Do not be afraid. And so then, do not be afraid to say, I will order my time and my energy and my money toward eternal things, toward things that last, and I will trust that the Lord will provide me with what I need for this body and life before He takes me to be with Himself. Do not be afraid to say, I will treasure the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and gather with the body of Christ, even when others say it is foolish to gather with the body of Christ, even when others say it's a waste of time, even when others say it's a danger to your health. Do not be afraid to say, I will tell others about Jesus, invite them to church, and trust that God, the Holy Spirit, will work when and where He wills to create faith. Do not be afraid to say, I will make it my top priority to hear God's word, even when it seems that the rest of the world is falling apart around me and there are so many other things to do. Do not be afraid to say, I will look to God's word to understand how I should live and act in my calling as a father, as a mother, as a son, a daughter, an employer, or an employee, even when it goes against the grain of this world. Do not be afraid to say, I will invest my time and energy and money in making sure my children and my grandchildren are taught the faith, and trust that God will provide the time, the energy, the money needed for this, and still provide for all of us our daily bread. Do not be afraid to say, I will pick up the Word of God and read it day after day. I will trust the Lord to work on me through it and to grant me greater understanding even where I do not understand it. What sort of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him? This man is God in human flesh, come to earth to buy you back from the rule of Satan and to give you a new birth. Because of who He is and what He has done for you, you who are baptized into Him have become different sorts of people. You have become new creatures in Christ. And because you have a Lord who cares for you, who provides for you, who's made Himself your Savior and your Lord, and adopted you in His family by putting His name on you in baptism, because you have this Lord, you can trust that He is going to provide for you. You do not need to be afraid. You do not need to be afraid to be His disciple and follow Him. You know, when you look at His cross and you see Him dying there for you, that He loves you, that He cares for you, that He has adopted you. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.